Good morning, English Church in Polish Dandenong. It is a privilege for me to be this morning with you and spend some time and study together. I would like to say thank you for Pastor Halupka, who was so willing to call me and say, well, come and preach in Dandenong on August 1st. And I said, well, why not? But I didn't realize that it will be online, and I have to record this message in studio. But I have a privilege and joy to be with you to this morning and study the fascinating passage from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. The situation in which we are at the moment, the lockdown, the church, I think force us to discuss and ask the question, what does it mean to be a member of the church? Is coming to the church, singing and giving offering and praying and listening to the sermon or the music, is all about what church is? I think not. So therefore, my topic today is the goal of the church. But before we start, I would like to say a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I would like to say thank you so much for bringing us together this morning. We would like to say thank you for this Sabbath day. And despite of this separation and despite of all these obstacles which we have as a church here in Dandenong, in Melbourne, Lord, thank you that we can still be together using technology. Lord, let the Spirit bless us and challenge us today, this morning, when we study book of Ephesians. Lord, let the Spirit guide my thoughts and bring the right message to all people who came today or to set up their computers and TV screens to listen to your words. In Jesus' name, amen. I would like to say that probably today I would like to challenge you and tell you that my goal is for you to preach the sermon for yourself. I would like to study this fantastic passage from chapter 4, letter to Ephesians, but I would like to do it in such a way that you will be challenging yourself, you will be preaching yourself to yourself. First of all, I would read slowly with you the passage from verse 7 to 16, and then I will share a few thoughts. But I would like to read this text with you very slowly. I realize that very often we read the text, Bible text, quickly, and then we lose a lot of essence, a lot of meanings and interesting thoughts. So let's read this text very, very slowly. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. That's like the topic of the sermon. Paul is saying that the grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ. And then he's giving us the explanation why. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Of course, Paul is talking about Jesus. And then English Standard Version is putting in the brackets, in saying he ascended, when what does it mean, but that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth. interesting. That's the concept of going up, going down. Everything makes sense in context of mission of Jesus Christ. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. We already start to think how difficult it is, and we have to really have an imagination how to understand this ascension above all the heavens and then filling up all things. And then verse 11, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. We usually know this text very often when we study the spiritual gifts. We are talking about this text from Ephesians 4. But we continue to equip the saints, it means you and me, for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. When I read this text, it's just like my mind is dizzy because this fullness, this mature manhood or womanhood, fullness of Christ, it's such a big terms which really make a big impact on each of us. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Paul is continuing, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Fascinating text. I would like to encourage you, as I said, to contemplate and reflect on this text. The total impression of this passage is that Christ has a goal for his church. Have you ever thought about this, that Christ has a goal for you particularly? A supreme standard for his church, and the goal is so high, so exalted, that it takes the imagination to comprehend it. It's beyond our imagination. Specifically, this passage leaves three impressions upon the mind and heart. And I would like to concentrate and focus on those three impressions. The first one is that Christ has given us the grace whereby we may reach the goal. The second impression is that the means of growth for reaching the goal are at hand. We have the means of growth. And the third impression is that we must not stop nor be satisfied short of the goal, no matter how high the standard, nor how great the difficulties in the way. The greatness of Christ's goal for his church is something very, very special. Let us explore three of those impressions. We will start with grace. We must never take our eyes away from the grace of God. We are always to remember that we are not Christians because we deserve to be. We are not Christian because we choose. We are Christian because we get grace from him. Two things strike us about this grace, this free gift of Christ towards those who are his own. Grace is necessary for reaching the goal for the church. But when I reflect on the grace, I am impressed by its impartiality. When we look at verse 7, Paul is saying, "But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift." Not to just a few in the church, not to just the pastor or the leaders, but unto each one of us. Do you feel that you get this grace? Impartiality. Paul is telling us that this grace was given to each one of us. And the second impression is that this grace has individuality. What I mean by that, look at this verse 11. "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers." I like that Paul is giving this collection of different jobs, if you wish, in the church. God's gifts are specifically fitted to the capacity of each individual to receive them. Apostles, prophets, evangelism, diacons, shepherds, teachers, maybe Sabbath school teachers. It follows, therefore, that each person in the church has a task cut out for him or her according to the measure of the gift of Christ in equipping him or her to do that task. It's amazing that God is giving us a special gift of grace, equipping us to be fruitful, to be able to accomplish something special in this church. So that's the first impression. The first impression that the grace is necessary for reaching the goal. The second impression is that growth is necessary for reaching the goal. Paul says in this passage that we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Just think about yourself. Did you realize, did you detect the growth in your Christian life? When you compare 2020, 1st of August, with 1st of August 2019, and maybe 18, and maybe 1988, most of us are in church for many years. Can you detect the growth? Or you still feel that you are on this same level as it was 5 years ago? The other translations are telling us, "may grow up in all things into him." So Paul is not only telling us that we have to grow in general way. Paul is saying in everything, in every way, into him who is the head, even Christ. Paul calls some in the church at Corinth who had not grown, he called them babies in Christ. Would you like to be called a baby in Christ in Dandenong Church? Sounds funny, isn't it? Paul is saying to Corinthians, "But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh." And he's explaining what does it mean to be a person of the flesh, as infants in Christ. Think about yourself. Are you spiritual or are you infant in Christ? How may Christian growth be attained? What are the means? Paul gives us a few suggestions, and I would like to quickly go over with you. First, we grow by stability of Christian convictions. Let's look at verse 14. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, but human cunning by craftiness in deceitful schemes. In typical fashion, Paul mixed his metaphors here, using first the unstable nature of the child. When you look at this little child, the children are unstable. You can change their mood so quickly. But then Paul is talking about unanchored ships driven about in a turbulent sea, and he's mixing those two metaphors to tell us about instability. Paul is saying, don't be like a ship unanchored, or don't be like child unstable. Instability of Christian convictions is one sure sign of immaturity. Then Paul is saying that we have to grow by sincerity of Christian love. And he's telling about this in verse 15, which is very interesting, and I will tell you a little bit of that. Rather, speaking the truth in love. I realize that very often we love to speak the truth, but not necessarily in love. Or, like other translations are telling us, but dealing truly in love. The problem here with the translation is that we can't translate the noun truth in English as a verb. While the Greek language, it is possible to change a noun into verb. If we would like to do this same in English, we should say, but truthing in love. It means maintaining the truth, keeping up the truth. Love must be placed in the context of truth. And the third impression, which I would like to reflect upon, is greatness of Christ's goal for his church. He is not happy with something small, insignificant. Paul is painting the beautiful picture where God, Jesus, wants us to really reach a high standards. How great and how high is this goal? After naming the gifts that Christ through grace gives to individual in the church, Paul tells us why. And he's saying to prepare God's people for productive service, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. The word used here, equip, is the same which is used when to describe, for example, the fishermen who are fixing or mending the nets sitting on the seashore or on the lake. So it is the same word that is used where people are fixing something, mending something, where members of the church may be quick-tempered and gossips or busybodies and empty-headed. Paul calls us to mend these things first. Why? Because then we are able to do the ministry. I like this word in Greek, ministry, because it tells us to the work of diakonias. Paul is trying us that the grace and the Spirit is equipping us, the gifts are giving to us to equip us for the work of service. It's not a work of being a kings and rulers. It's a work of being a servant. Why? To build up the body of Christ. Look at this verse 12. For building up the body of Christ. What a privilege. Until we build up the body of Christ, that Christ might have a fit and usable instrument through which he can nurture his saints, grow his children, save the lost. There is a lot of interaction in the church. I think that the situation in which we are like right now, it helps us to sort out things. What's my purpose? Why I am in this church? Why we are here? Who is missing the Dandenong church? Me, you, or people around us? Paul is saying, all come to the unity of faith. And in verse 13, he's saying, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Christ's ideal for his church is not just for a few choice souls who excel, not for just a few who reach the top, but for every member of his church, all of his own. I like this picture of puzzle. You know, the jigsaw puzzle composed of many different blocks, but they have only one place where they can fit into the big picture. Think about being a block, being a jigsaw puzzle piece. Where is your place in the church? And Paul is finishing with this amazing appeal. And he's saying, so until we reach the mature manhood, and I would like to add a little bit to this text, mature manhood and womanhood, because we all are created for the image of God, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Paul is saying, till we all attain to the standard of unity and maturity, fully grown and united. Do we see the point of this great passage? Do you see where is your place in this story? Paul lays tremendous emphasis upon the church, the body of believers, not on its size, but on its soul quality. What sort of quality has your church? I would like to say that this church has a quality which is not bigger than your quality, because others are the same like you. How would be the Dandenong church if everyone in this church would be like you? Where would be your church? As the master sculptor, God is at work in our lives. We may think that he must always use small and delicate instrument, but sometimes, because of harshness of my character, he must use a chainsaw. And it's painful sometimes, and it seems to us that it is chainsaw when we are in our pain and anguish, we say, well, Lord, are you caring for me? Also, it seems to us that it is so difficult when he's trying to fix my and your character. But let us not fear, for he has a pattern in his mind for each of us, and he's shaping us into that design. Think about this jigsaw puzzle. God has this beautiful picture, and there is a place for you. Yes, God has the plan for Dandenong Church. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I would like to say thank you so much for this opportunity to study this wonderful passage from the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Lord, thank you that through this beautiful passage, you are appealing to us this morning that we have to have a goal in the church. Lord, thank you that we are living in the time when we are forced to redefine the goal of this church. Help us to see the place and the talents. Thank you, Lord, for which you gave us. And thank you, Lord, that you are giving us the grace so we are able to fulfill your plans and match the big picture which you prepare for us. Lord, I'm praying for Dandenong Church. Wherever we are, Lord, right now, we cannot be in the church, in the building, but we are the church. We are in our homes, we are in our society. Lord, bless us and use us as a blessing for people around us. Help us to understand that the purpose of the church is not just sitting and consuming, but giving and serving, because you gave us this wonderful gift of grace to do it. Lord, bless Dandenong Church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. May God bless you, and thank you very much for being today with us, listening and studying together. God bless you.